Now, in the middle of the year, I wonder how you're going with your New Year's resolutions. It's been a while. Maybe if you're like me, you didn't write them down, and so, of course, they're just forgotten memories. Or perhaps you can remember, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's right. I said I would do something this year. Maybe it was even, you've got some ideas, I'm sure, in your mind of what you thought you could do this year. I imagine that the kids that are here with us this morning are thinking about the next 2 weeks. We heard about one of them with plans to go to, Lemon Tree Passage. Lovely place to go. Maybe others of you are planning to hang out with friends or maybe go to the movies, play some board games or do a puzzle. These are all things we look forward to in the holidays, isn't it, as kids? Now, if you're older and you're still working, you're probably working out, well, when can I retire? How long do you actually need to work for before you can retire? Now, many of us have plans for the future, and I'd have a guess and say that all of us have some plans for the future. And I think that's a good thing. You may have heard the phrase, it's not a biblical phrase, it's just a phrase that people often put out there. A goal without a plan is just a wish. A goal without a plan is just a wish. See, if we have a goal, but we actually don't plan to do anything about it, well, it becomes a wish. It's just something we hope that will happen one day without actually doing anything about it. It's a bit like me and wanting to play the piano. I actually need to make a plan. I need to put in some effort and learn. Oh, I'd love to play the piano. I'd love to do it. But I don't do anything about it. I don't sit down and play it. So it's just a wish. Now, maybe you have a few goals of your own. But when you think about it, is it a goal or is it just a wish? Now, as we think about planning in the future, I want us to look at our life's ambitions this morning. We have plans to do things. We have ambitions to do something, and we aspire to be someone. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What are your life's ambitions? Now, to do this, I want to look at a word that the Apostle Paul used in 1 Thessalonians. And this is a way to wrap up the series of 1 and 2 Thessalonians by looking at really just one word. We read the passage earlier, and we'll also look at two other passages where Paul uses this same word. He uses it three times in all his letters. And we're going to look at each one of them. And after looking at the three passages, my hope is that we'll have a pretty good idea about the ambitions that we should have as God's children. So the three passages are in your outline there. You'll see them. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 Thessalonians 4, and then Romans 15. I'll give you plenty of notice to find them in your Bibles. They're also in your bulletin. There's an outline there with the passages listed. So let's get your Bibles open because we want to see that what we're looking at is actually from God's Word. Now, Paul's first ambition is to please the Lord. It's in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 10. So turn there in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 10. And the word ambition appears in verse 9. Now, I have to admit that sometimes this word isn't the word ambition in English, but that's okay. We'll work through that. They often translate it in different ways, and as you'll see as we look through the three passages. Let me read this section for you. So 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 10. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now the word we're looking for is in verse 9. I don't know if you saw it there. It says, we make it our aim. It uses five words in English, but it's actually one word in the original. We make it our aim. That's Paul's ambition, and his ambition is to please the Lord. You can see it there. We make it our aim to please him. So let's look at the context of this passage first. Now, on either side of the passage that we're looking at today, Paul speaks of the importance of working towards heavenly ambitions. In chapter 4, Paul spoke about the gospel being treasure to share. He told them to stop working towards things that are seen, the physical world, the things of this world. And he says, start working on the unseen, the things of the world to come. He wants them to bring the good news of Jesus before all people so that they may be reconciled to God. Because that has an eternal consequence. In this section that we're looking at, Paul compared this life with the next. This life, he says, is like a tent, but the eternal life is like a building. Paul said that the life to come was much better. They no longer belong to a tent, but they belong to a building. So live life knowing that you're going to a building. Now, if you're away for holidays this winter, I'm sure that you tried to book a house over camping in a tent. And especially with all this rain, I'm sure some of you are very glad that you're in a house and not a tent. And that's Paul's point here, that the life to come, or eternity, the building, is much better than this life, which is a tent. We're told in verse 9, to please the Lord. The word that we're focusing on today is translated, we make it our aim. Paul's ambition for himself and this church is to please the Lord, or please Jesus. He told them that there are consequences for all that they do in this life. And in verse 10, we see that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which is Jesus. And at that seat, we will receive what's due for our life. So he says in verse 9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. See, Paul wants the church to make it their aim to please Jesus. Paul had heavenly ambition, and he wants this church to have heavenly ambitions. This is what will please the Lord. Make it your aim to please him. Now, many of us know what this means, don't we? In business, we make it our aim to please the customer. You want people to see the work that you've done or the product that you've supplied. You want them to be happy so that they come back. It's the same with our schoolwork too, isn't it? You want the work you've done to be pleasing, meaning that we like it and we're happy with the job that we've done and the result is good. We like things to be pleasing. And Paul says that his ambition is that this life is pleasing to the Lord. Do you make it your ambition in life to please the Lord? We know that Jesus gave us his life to give us eternal life. And Paul said that we respond in the same way and we give him our lives. And what Paul's driving home here is that we should have heavenly ambition, which means we live for Jesus all the time. That's what it means to make it your aim to please Jesus or please the Lord. It means that every decision we make and all that we do is a response to the loving work of Jesus' death and resurrection for you. And we live life with heavenly ambition. We stop living for the tent that we're currently in, and we start living for the building that's to come. Do you make it your ambition to please the Lord? Now, as a follower of Jesus, your ambition must be to please Jesus. You can't follow Jesus and make it your ambition to please yourself, to build a bigger tent. But many of us do that, don't we? We grab hold of what makes us enjoy life. We hurt people around us and we forget that our role is to please Jesus. See, pleasing Jesus with our life means that decisions we make each and every day are impacted because we think to ourselves, will this please Jesus? Is this a heavenly ambition? And as we look at this idea of setting our ambition to please Jesus, Paul said in verse 10 that all we do will be judged. We saw that in verse 10, didn't we? Where he says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We're to make it our aim to please Jesus, And on top of that, we will be judged according to how we do. Each person will receive compensation for how they've lived life. That's a great motivation to please Jesus, isn't it? It helps me to see that I want my ambitions to please him. There are consequences for how we live, so live to please Jesus. So do your ambitions help you to please Jesus? That's the first ambition that Paul gives us. Now the next one we read about is in 1 Thessalonians 4, which is the passage that Graham read to us earlier. And the second ambition of Paul is that the church aspires to live quietly. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and we'll read this section, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 to 12. I'll read it again just to get us familiar with it again. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So the word we're looking at here is in verse 11, where it says to aspire, or I think it uses the word ambition in the NIV. It's the same word for make it our aim, and it refers to ambition or desire. And Paul says, desire or aspire to live quietly. Now, again, from the context of the book and how great that we've actually looked at the whole of the two books already, we know that that many were worried about the return of Jesus. They stopped working, they gave things up because they thought, well, Jesus is coming, so let's just stop everything. And through these letters, Paul told them to stop being lazy, stop having this view, and get on with life. But there's also the context of those in the church being persecuted, and as a result, were being brought into public life. So Paul says, live quietly, mind your own affairs. It's not saying that we shouldn't be involved in each other's lives to live as individuals. But he's talking about the affairs outside the church. Don't get caught up in them. That's the context here. What Paul said here is that the brothers or those in the church should not make it their aim to be a public spectacle, to draw attention to themselves because of the persecution that's going on. But rather he says to them, make it your ambition, make it your aim, aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs and work with your hands. He wanted them to get on with the business of living life. And the reason for this is in verse 12, where he says, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. See, we heard about this last week, didn't we? How some were living off the wages of others. They were unwilling to work. And Paul said to them, get on with it. Make it your aim to provide for yourself. Don't beg off one another. Aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, and work with your hands. Now, these are good aspirations for us too, aren't they? To live quietly, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Now, Paul said these things because he knew that if we live like this, we will impact those around us. Paul believed that our daily life mattered. And if we aspire to live in response to the gospel work in us, then we will live differently. We will win the respect of those outside the church. And again, we see that Paul has a high view of living for Jesus at every moment. You can't turn off being a follower of Jesus. Every moment of every day, lived for Jesus. We saw in the first point that we're to have heavenly ambitions, to consider the relationships we have in the light of eternity. And here again, Paul is clear that our ambition should be to live this way so that the kingdom of God may grow. It's not about us, is it? It's about those around us. It's about those around us who are eternally condemned. That's why we have this ambition, so that we have every possibility to bring the good news of Jesus to those around us. Make it your aim to live quietly and mind your own affairs. Now, the last ambition that we're going to see is Paul's ambition to preach. to preach the gospel. Now, for this, we need to turn to Romans 15, verses 18 to 21. So find Romans 15 in your Bibles. And the word for ambition that we'll see is in verse 20. And in this passage, it appears in verse 20. And we'll read from verse 18 to 21. So Romans 15, 18 to 21. Where it says, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." Well, it's quite clear here, isn't it? Paul's ambition was to preach the gospel to those who hadn't heard. The gospel message that he preached was the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus. That's the gospel message. His death for our sins, so that we can be live eternally with him. And when people trust this message, that it saves them from eternal condemnation, they are saved for all eternity. Now, in the immediate context of Romans, Paul's heart for people to know Jesus is very clear. He preached the gospel wherever he could because he believed that people can only be saved by responding to the gospel message. Now, this is really clear in Romans 10, verses 14 and 15, where he said that, and this is quite a famous verse, and you might want to underline it if you don't have it underlined, where he says, "How can anyone be saved unless they call on Jesus? And how can they call on Jesus if they've never heard of Jesus?" See, the implication is that the gospel needed to be preached. That's the context. And Paul's ambition was to make the name of Jesus known where it wasn't known. That was his ambition. Now, it didn't stop him preaching from where Christ had already been preached, but his ambition was to make sure that those who hadn't heard got the chance to hear. And in Romans 15, 16, Paul told them that God gave him the work of preaching to the Gentiles, so that they may become a fragrant offering and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, just like the Israelites who trusted in Jesus. And in verse 18, he said that he won't boast of anything but only what Jesus has done for him. And he boasted of the gospel work in his life, didn't he? And in verse 19, he reminded them that he preached about Jesus from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. What Paul said was that his priority was to preach the gospel. And as we look at verse 20, this is one of our three key verses for today, and where we find the word that I'm focusing on. It says, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named." His desire, his ambition, his aspirations were to make Jesus known where he wasn't known. Paul knew without hearing the gospel, people are destined for hell. And Paul's ambition is to rescue as many people from this fate. I mean, what a great ambition to have. A couple of weeks ago, or it's actually probably a couple of months ago now, we had Mal Watts come and speak to us from SIM. I gave him a call this week because I thought to myself, well, what sort of person is needed to go and preach the gospel in a difficult place? I imagine that's a place where Jesus isn't known. Now, Mal said a few things about that were quite practical. He said, oh, you know, the usual missionary stuff. You know, you want flexibility, adaptability, maybe even an ability to measure some risk. Those things are probably going to be helpful. But then he said that those things aren't going to help you make it. It's probably more to do with your perspective of eternity. If someone lives in the light of eternity, they know the importance of making Jesus known. See, SIM go to hard places because without the gospel, they believe people will spend eternity in hell. And so the gospel of Jesus needs to be preached. Mal asked a great question while we were talking together. He said, what should be the earthly ambition of every Christian? What should be the earthly ambition of every Christian? Is it wealth? Is it a family? Is it a comfortable retirement? I don't think so. I don't think any of that really matters. Now, don't get me wrong. Many of those things are good and can be used for heavenly benefit. But they shouldn't be our earthly goal, should they? They shouldn't be our earthly goal when those around us are going to hell. We don't work to gain earthly merit, but we live as Christians to gain heavenly merit. We use our gifts. We use our wealth. We use our family. We use our retirement to bring glory to God's kingdom, to gain heavenly merit, to bring the kingdom of God to places where Jesus isn't known, to be creative in how we use our life and resources to grow his kingdom. And it's this ambition that drove Paul to far-reaching places. Do you have this ambition? To preach the gospel where it hasn't been preached? To share of Jesus at the cost of your life? To make it your ambition to preach the gospel? After all, we have a Jesus who gave his life for you so that you can enjoy eternity with him. So, of course, our ambition is to bring people in. Is this your ambition? We've seen this morning that Paul has ambition, and when you look at all three passages that use this word, you can hear Paul's heavenly ambition, can't you? His ambition for the church is that they live lives that please the Lord. And a life that pleases the Lord is one that brings good news to those around us through our lives, but also through the preaching of the gospel. This has to be our ambition. A bit earlier in 1 Corinthians, in the 1 Corinthians section, it says that we need to be jars of clay that bring good news of Jesus to those who are perishing. So how are we going to do this? Are we all going to become ministry workers and missionaries and quit our jobs? Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's for everyone. But we're to live lives that please the Lord, where we live quietly and we get on with the job that we have. And in that job, we live out the gospel. The way we treat our employees and bosses, it all matters. The way we communicate with suppliers and customers, It all matters. I remember having clients scream down to the phone at me, using words that I can't say from here, verbalizing their frustration and anger at something that I wasn't in control of. Let me tell you, it matters how you respond. Make it your ambition to please the Lord. Live like this, because we know that those who don't follow Jesus will see and respect us as we care for them and their lives and for the people around us. We want them to see that we're different because the gospel has impacted our lives. But I don't think we should stop there. Because as Paul himself said, how can they hear unless they have someone to tell them? We can't rely on what we look like on the outside. We need to open our mouths and preach the gospel. We need to bring this amazingly good news, this great news, to those around us. We need to pray that God opens hearts so that those around us can hear. So I encourage you today, make it your ambition to please the Lord, to live quietly, and to preach the gospel. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the encouragement we've had to live for you. We pray that our ambitions may line up with your ambitions for our lives. May we live in such a way that people can see the gospel, and may we be bold enough to open our mouths and speak of you. We know that you go before us, and we ask for boldness to speak of your greatness. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.